started, man.
Yeah, brother, like, solid. Right on.
Welcome to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. That's 844-967-2789. You can text us at that same number. Good morning to you, Calvin. How you doing, man?
I'm doing well, Earl. How are you?
All right, man. It's going to be, they say, 62 degrees, man.
Yeah, but I'm hearing some mixed precipitation later tonight.
Yeah, well, we'll deal with that. So it's Friday.
Thunder and lightning last night.
Yeah, that means it's Friday. That means Sandy Williams, my co-host.
You and I are thunder and lightning.
Yeah. And you know, Sandy, the world stopped last night. And I was at the gym, and I had my headphones in. I think I was in the whirlpool, and it came across. I spoke to you. You didn't know it. Donald Trump had been indicted. And it was like the world stopped. But our phone lines are open. 844-967-2789. 844-967-2789. Your thoughts. Pro or con. What are your thoughts about Donald Trump being indicted? And I will say this. It's not like we didn't know. Yeah, it's not a secret. Everybody knew that at some point, whether it was this Sandy or something else, that Donald Trump was going to eventually be indicted for something. He's played Russian roulette. He's put himself in positions where and cavalierly, right?
Well, he's basically declared himself above the law by his behavior, and so far he has been. I think most people about this indictment are kind of wish that there had been a different case that had been brought first or something. But, you know, the interesting issue here is, you know, even if it's a technical violation, if it's the kind of thing that might get prosecuted, anyone might get prosecuted for, why should the ex-president not be prosecuted for it? But, you know, it's clearly, I think everyone who either likes Trump or doesn't like Trump has feelings about this particular case. And everyone might wish that it would be a different case, at least. Some people would wish it would be no case brought against him, and others might wish that it was a different case.
Well, you know, you hear people scramble around and say, well, it was a private matter between him and Stormy Daniels, and, you know, he didn't want his wife to know. And so how much of that is true?
Well, I don't know. That's a fact matter. You know, Michael Cohen went to jail for this. So I guess Michael Cohen, as you were saying before, sauce for the goose is sauce for the gander, right? Michael Cohen sitting there saying, look, I spent time in the clink for this very thing. So I guess the guy that I did it for, Donald Trump, ought to stand trial for the same thing. And he's going to be the primary witness in all likelihood about all of the facts associated with it, or many of the facts. But it is a little convoluted. I had to do a little research to figure out how this was turning into a felony as a campaign violation. And I went back and looked at the Cohen case, and I read some things about this case. And it looks like what they're saying is that Cohen testified that the contribution was that the money was paid to Stormy to keep her from talking so that it wouldn't damage the campaign. So right. That made it a campaign contribution, not that they dipped into a trough of money that had been given by other people to Trump to run his campaign. No, this was deemed to be an expenditure for the campaign, and if it was made by Cohen or if it was made by Donald Trump, it was a campaign contribution that wasn't reported and that was improperly spent on this purpose, and that makes it a felony. The misdemeanor part of it is the falsification of the business record, because there's no question that when Trump reimbursed Cohen for the payment of $130,000, it wasn't labeled that. It was just labeled legal fees. So he paid Cohen legal fees to in a manner that allowed Cohen to then have enough pocket change to make the $130,000 payment.
So, look, I'm not even going to begin to act as though I know anything at all about law and legalese and all of that. I'm not that crazy.
You do have to be crazy to be a lawyer.
No, you're right. Sandy, I'm talking about to think that I understand. The precepts of law. But are you saying then that Donald Trump, if he would have taken this money out of his own account?
Well, he did.
His own private accounts.
He did.
Oh, okay.
See, what it is he took money out of his own private account, paid Cohen something that was labeled a legal fee. So that was a false. It wasn't a legal fee. It was a reimbursement for an expense. That's not a legal fee.
Okay.
It was a reimbursement for an expense that was the expense was paying off Stormy. Okay.
Right.
But then the question is whether that payment to Stormy Daniels was done for private purposes or was it done for campaign purposes to keep her from essentially ruining his campaign, i.e. it was a matter of public relations for the campaign. And in the case of the Michael Cohen situation, they determined that, and he went to jail basically because he agreed that it was made to for the campaign purposes and not just to keep her quiet,
right,
for other purposes. Now, there's also apparently a $150,000 payment that was made to this ex-Playboy model. I think her name was McDaniel. And that was also hush money, and I don't know whether that's going to be in this indictment or not. I don't know whether that is alleged to have been made for campaign purposes or whether, who knows. But he had a lot of people to quiet down. He's got a whole choir of hushed up people.
So the guy is really just a mess, right? I mean, you know, the fact that even if he had all his, it has all the
money.
Look,
The transcript from his discussion on the bus made it clear who he was, but the American public doesn't care about that, and is clearly much more interested in the Trump view of politics or what it is that Trump delivers in the political process to them, or his anti. I mean, all of that does contribute to his anti-establishment status. He definitely doesn't behave like the establishment, and in the establishment you're supposed to have, if you do shameful things, you're supposed to be ashamed of them and keep them secrets. And it's clear that Donald Trump is basically shameless. And the other thing about Trump is that his conduct, most of it is open and notorious. He does it in front of everyone,
right.
And somehow it's hard to think that something that's done in front of you is criminal, right? So
right.
January 6th, we saw it all. And so that makes it kind of like, I don't know. I saw it. Most people think of criminals as people who wear masks and have flashlights.
Well, Sandy, I had a gentleman on yesterday who clearly stated that what we saw, he's a Donald Trump supporter, and what we saw was not the truth.
That was staged?
Yeah.
It was a moon landing.
Yeah. and so... You just, in the face of all of this, and people are upset and outraged, and let's see if Donald Trump, I don't think people are stupid enough in New York to do anything. He can say he wanted them to do something, but I don't think there's one person, it might be one, who's going to be stupid enough to do something in New York, because New York is not the capital, and they have people who are ready. They're ready in because of what took place on January 6th. So anybody who might be thinking about organizing to do something because of what happened to Trump, I just don't think people are that crazy, right? I mean,
well, who knows? I mean, you know, like, there are. Trump obviously would like to stir up a demonstration. Whether he wants to stir it all the way up to being a mob, I guess I thought the baseball bat and I thought some of the other things were dog whistle signals, much like the dog whistle
signals.
There's
no question they were.
I mean, I thought that his preliminary comments prior to the January 6th, telling people in November that they should come to Washington on January 6th, knowing what that date was,
right?
And summoning all these people to come because it was going to be wild. I think that was the word he used.
Yeah, right.
Come January 6th, it's going to be wild. I mean, what is that but a dog whistle, basically summoning people to come and commit mayhem? But again, there's this sort of deniability about it that makes it a credible deniability, which is what I guess mobsters, everyone learns the art of the line, where how to walk the line.
Well, you know, Sandy, my whole thought about all of it again is, you know, he's somehow they're out to get him. Everybody's out to get him.
Well, look, I think this prosecution wouldn't be brought against, you know, Jack Lujack, somebody we don't know about. But the fact is that celebrity status brings, there's good and bad things about celebrity status. Everyone in Hollywood knows this. You become a celebrity and your life gets put under the microscope, whether you like it or not. And the paparazzi takes pictures of you in embarrassing places. The press follows you and hounds you. You get prosecuted for offenses that you might not otherwise get prosecuted for because you are prominent and your actions the public becomes aware of. And so, you know, sauce for the goose is sauce for the gander. And if you want to step into the limelight and be a popular figure. I saw Jon Stewart on TV a couple of days ago. I thought he did a very good job.
We'll talk about that after the break. Our phone lines are open at 844-967-2789. Again, what are your thoughts? You know, I know it's early in the morning, but Donald Trump has been indicted, and we knew it was coming. Then what are your thoughts? 844-967-2789. We'll be right back. You know, Sandy.
Tell me what's going on. I'll tell you what's going on.
Slow dancing.
Just in a wonderland, a stranger in paradise.
This is about 1958.
I thought it was about 50
earlier than that, maybe.
51.
Is it 51?
That's a danger in paradise.
Tony Bennett. Welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. You knew it right away.
Oh, yeah. This was in my early youth, I can remember. I have three sisters. This is the kind of stuff they listen to.
All right. Well, then, this is for them today.
Yeah.
Welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. Text us at that same number. It's Friday. That means Friday's with Sandy Williams. We're asking the question about your thoughts on the indictment of Donald Trump. And, you know, Sandy, he's been begging for, do it. Bring it. Bring it on. Bring it on. I bet he had trouble sleeping last night.
No.
You don't think so?
I don't think so. I think he probably has some trouble sleeping every night. But, I mean, if it was because of his conscience, that's not going to keep him awake. If it was because he thought something, he's learned how to be a victim. He's the most successful victim out there. You know, he's able to convert, and it's very, this is, I think that he is laughing all the way to the bank today because he's going to get lots of donations. His support has gone up. The poll for him last month, the Fox News poll that had showed him 20 points ahead of DeSantis 2 months ago, shows him 50 points ahead of DeSantis now.
So hang on. Hey Calvin, look up Lindsey Graham's response to Donald Trump this morning. It's about a minute long, and let us know when you have it. I want Sandy to hear it. In the meantime, let's go to CJ. Hey, good morning, CJ. You're crying in your milk this morning, right?
No, I don't think so. It's purely political. There's many on both sides of the aisle that believe this is political.
Everything is political. He's a former president of the United States. Yes, it's political. That's what he is.
No, Alvin Bragg is political, not the president's response. There's so many people that, I don't care, Democrat lawyers or whatever, think this is a bunch of you-know-what. And the mere fact that this is substantial, a campaign booking mistake or whatever, even Merrick Garland didn't bring the case. So, you know, Alvin Bragg campaigned on one thing, not crime in New York, because there's 67% of the charged felons aren't even being prosecuted in that state. And now this is the issue. For he campaigned on getting one man. So
did Donald Trump do anything that put himself in a position that any of this could have happened in your mind?
What, the so-called paying the hush money? If that was an issue, you don't think Merrick Garland would have brought charges against them? You know, this, you guys can celebrate this if you want.
Well, CJ, I didn't celebrate it. We were talking about it. I think most people think that there are other crimes that are being investigated for Trump that would have been better to bring. And
that are coming.
That are probably coming, other shoes to fall, and that this is a rather theoretical one. But, you know, as I was saying earlier, I do think that when you go into politics and you want to have celebrity status, and Trump is obviously a celebrity, right? That's how he got to be a presidential candidate, because he was seeking celebrity status. And celebrity status puts you under a microscope. It does if you're in Hollywood. It does if you're in politics. And people under a microscope tend to get treated differently. They get much more negative publicity about things in their lives that other people might just live with. And so I think this comes with the territory is the problem that Donald Trump has. And most people try to live their lives then in a way that puts them beyond this kind of question. I mean, I think it is true that womanizing was sort of a presidential sport for a long period of time in our history. And so, you know, the fact that this relates possibly to a womanizing past isn't what should get him prosecuted. But Cohen did go to jail for the same conduct. And I didn't hear a lot of people jumping up and down saying that Michael Cohen shouldn't go to jail. What do you think? What do you think about that?
He has no opinion on that.
What?
He said Cohen lied to Congress.
Well, Cohen didn't go to jail for lying to Congress. He didn't go to jail for that at all. He was prosecuted for this very offense.
What? What offense?
The illegal campaign contribution.
No, he wasn't. He lied to Congress, Sandy. Do a little research.
All right.
Oh, my God. You guys are so mixed up. I tell you, it's really sad.
Hey, CJ, this clearly...
Journalist.
This clearly is a day that will live in infamy.
Yeah, you can
for you.
Celebrate it, Earl. You celebrate it.
Hey,
we're classy on your part.
Hey, hey, wait, so, hey, CJ, we got to go to a break. Fly me to the moon. Got to go to a break. When we come back, we've got the Lindsey Graham piece. 844-967-2789. What are your thoughts? We'll be right back.
A stranger no
Frank Sinatra.
Oh, Frank Sinatra. That's what the hell.
I will
you're
feel
right.
A glow
but it,
just
this,
thinking
of Bennett sang this too.
Yeah.
You in the way
oh, yeah, that's
you
Frank,
look
of course.
Tonight.
He's got a raincoat over his shoulder.
So,
yes, your love.
I was in that kind of mood this morning.
Mm-hmm.
With your
welcome back.
So
as always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. You can text us at that same number.
Is CJ still on the line?
No, CJ just hung up, man. I'm
well,
sure
let me.
Call
I just hope CJ's listening.
Well, let's welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. Text us at that same number. It's Friday. Friday's with my co-host Sandy Williams, and your thoughts on the indictment of Donald Trump. Sandy, go ahead.
Well, CJ was just before the break, and he was expressing an extremely confident view that the reason Michael Cohen went to jail was because he lied to Congress. And so I this is not an I told you so moment, but I did tell you so. actually, here it is. On December 12, 2018, Cohen was sentenced to 3 years in federal prison in order to pay a $50,000 fine after pleading guilty to tax evasion and campaign finance violations, the very campaign finance violation I was describing earlier. And then on February 26, 2019, he was disbarred from practicing law. None of that had to do with lying to Congress. And so he might have lied to Congress, I'm not sure, but that isn't the criminal offense that sent him to jail. What sent him to jail, at least a part of one of the counts that sent him to jail, was the very campaign finance violation that might be involved in the indictment of Donald
so
Trump.
So that's why I saw him on television yesterday, and he was so animated.
Michael Cohen?
Yeah. Because his career's shot.
Well, I think he's probably made a bigger career out of being the thorn in Donald Trump's side and doing social media and other things. At least he's trying to. He's written a book. I'm sure he got an advance on the book that was healthy. I'm not crying for Michael Cohen. He chose to work for and be the fixer for Donald Trump in the first place. So.
Yeah, but I'm saying his ire and anger.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, Donald Trump definitely threw him under the bus, okay? You know, the guy that did all his fixing suddenly became a risk, I guess, that he needed to throw him under the bus. But, you know, I am not celebrating the potential indictment. I don't know what the terms of the indictment are. It's under seal at this point. But at least with respect to the sense of law and order in this country, I think that nobody can be above the law. And whether someone is indicted because of their prominent status or not, I think it's always been true that prominence brought with it a greater risk of being under a microscope and being treated differently than the rest of the public. And, you know, Donald Trump definitely wants celebrity status. He's got it. And now he maybe might pay the price for it.
You know, Sandy, Calvin, play that piece from Lindsey Graham, please.
But this is legal voodoo. You got a misdemeanor that's been made a felony. Nobody in the history of New York City has ever been prosecuted under this theory except for Donald J. Trump.
Well, Michael Cohen.
This case will fall like a cheap suit under legal scrutiny. The chief witness, Michael Cohen, is a convicted felon whose own lawyer calls a unreliable dirtbag. So what's behind all this? Hatred. They tried to destroy Kavanaugh because they wanted to keep the Supreme Court seat open. They're trying to destroy Donald Trump because they fear him at the ballot box. To the conservatives out there, make sure you vote. If you got friends, make sure they vote. If you don't have any friends, go make some friends. But you need to help this man, Donald J. Trump. They're trying to drain him dry. He spent more money on lawyers than most people spend on campaigns. They're trying to bleed him dry. DonaldJTrump.com. Go tonight. Give the president some money to fight this bullshit. This is going to destroy America. We're going to fight back at the ballot box. We're not going to give in. How does this end, Sean? Trump wins in court, and he wins the election. That's how this ends.
Oh, my. Well, first of all, Trump, the talk about expending money, he raised $250 million after the January 6th debacle, saying that he was going to use it for legal defense, and it turned out that he used essentially none of it, and all of it went to other purposes or into his pocket. Gosh, that's a startling kind of a, you know, I wonder why in the world Lindsey Graham, who seems to vacillate between telling the truth about Donald Trump and how much he doesn't want him to be the lead for the Republican Party, and then how he turns around and does this. You got to wonder what motivates a person to be schizophrenic about this, other than the fact that I don't know.
You know, to tell people to give their money
to Donald Trump?
To Donald Trump, a billionaire, because they're trying to bleed him dry.
Well, I mean, one of the things that Donald Trump, I think, will get investigated for at some point, or at least will be exposed, will be the extent to which he has raised immense amounts of money under pretenses like give me money for my legal defense on the January 6th thing, and then used it for entirely different purposes, including personal purposes. You know, the notion that Donald Trump has spent any money out of his own pocket for his legal defense is pretty much, I think, irrefutably incorrect. And it's all part of, I guess, trying to paint this poor soul as a victim when I'm not sure that that he's a victim in any fashion. You know, he is a celebrity, like I said, and celebrities might feel like they're under assault with the paparazzi and with the news media and everyone else covering their life under a microscope. But hey, that's what you want to be.
So a United States senator comes out and says that, hey, dig in your pockets. Well, I mean, Sandy, that really is.
I just want to know what it was that either Donald Trump or, yeah, I think Donald Trump, when he called Lindsey Graham and said, hey, Lindsey, you're going to say this on the radio tonight. And then he handed them this script to read on the Hannity show. I wonder what else went on in that conversation.
So, I mean, your thoughts are that this is more than unusual, that a sitting United States senator would go on national television and tell people to donate money to citizens.
Well, I think that's unusual. I think what's particularly unusual is the schizophrenic nature of Lindsey Graham's behavior, because just last week and privately to numbers of people and over the years, what he said in 2016 when Trump was going to run for office, it's clear that at least one version of Lindsey Graham holds Donald Trump in contempt. And another version of him seems to bow and whimper and scrape and do his bidding. And so I'm surprised by it.
Well, you know, he stated that this is going to tear the nation apart. Now, well, the hyperbole, I think that if January 6th, didn't tear the nation apart, to say that this is going to be the straw that broke the camel's back, and now the nation is going to be torn asunder because Donald Trump has been indicted. Sandy, that's,
well,
I don't, I'm just I, not.
I, I think the nation is definitely frayed, and I think this will further tear, because I think the essential dog whistles now. Lindsey Graham, that was pretty near a dog whistle as well, about, you know, come to his defense, do what he wants. Donald Trump has clearly spent time trying to spur people into being both highly offended and actuated. You know, he's trying to actuate his folks, come out and demonstrate. He wants them to demonstrate. What does demonstrate mean if it's a dog whistle being blown?
Well, let's find out, because Gary from Sussex will let us know. Good morning, Gary. How are you doing? Thank you very much for the call. Your thoughts?
Well, my thoughts were, first of all, I think we all thought that this might happen.
We knew this was going to happen, but go ahead.
Okay. I wasn't sure. You probably were more sure than I was. Okay. I personally didn't think it was going to happen, but nobody's shocked by it. Okay. Now, I supported Donald Trump. When I voted for him the first time back in 2016, I held my nose and I asked God to forgive me because I hated this man. The only thing is I disliked Hillary Clinton more than Donald Trump. Now, as far as maybe about 3 or 4 months ago, I was kind of switching to DeSantis only because of the problems that I thought Donald Trump has and open his mouth. And I thought, okay, maybe we need somebody more presidential. But because of yesterday, I am totally left DeSantis and on board with Donald Trump. I am so pissed. I am beyond pissed. And the thing is, when our country is pulling this kind of garbage, going after political rivals, and that's exactly what's going on with this guy down in New York there, okay, this Alvin Bragg, okay? This guy is a political hack. He is out to get Trump, and I'm so pissed, and I'm telling you something once. This is Donald Trump. His support's going to go sky high among Republicans and some Democrats, because I think the Democrats don't want what's going on. And I think the best thing that could ever happen is for Joe Biden to come out there and say, hey, you know, we're pushing it. I don't think this is right. I think that this DA should back off. And I don't support what's going on.
Hey, tell me this. What about Gary? What about if the first action that were to be brought would be the Georgia Attorney General bringing an action regarding the election tampering, a charge that was that's being investigated by a grand jury there with respect to the calls to the Secretary of State there and what have you? Would you feel differently about that? Because those obviously are more serious crimes were they to be alleged and be the subject of indictment. Because, you know, I agree with you. I don't agree with you that that would be my reaction, but I do agree with you that this is undoubtedly going to help Donald Trump and that this is, like I said earlier, of all the charges that are being investigated, and he's being investigated for numbers of them, this is the one that I was going to be least enthusiastic about being brought, because I thought it was subject to just the kind of criticism you've provided for it. I still think that because this is a crime and we have the law of the rule of law here, that the fact that someone is a president should not make them immune from being prosecuted. And so what would your feeling be if this today, what we were reading about was the Georgia claim, the indictment there being brought? Would you feel differently about that?
Or the September 6th?
Or the September 6th investigation?
This is what I think about Georgia. I think that Donald Trump, in his mind, and nobody knows for sure, especially Donald Trump, but if he thinks in his mind that he was ripped off and he should have won this and he wanted these guys to go in there and investigate this and change the outcome, If he really believes it, I don't believe that he committed a crime there, because he's for what he really believes that he deserved the win.
Well, I know, now, but the grand jury is being presented with evidence. You could have been sitting in that grand jury, and you have to evaluate just those kinds of considerations before you decide whether you're going to bring an indictment or not. So, I mean, the fact is that fact situations are specific to specific instances and crime. That would be different in your mind if an indictment was brought there. That would be a different kind of a thought process you'd have to go through, right?
Yeah, but the thing is, I would probably...
Hold a thought, Gary. Hold a thought. We've got to go to a break. 844-967-2789. Our phone lines are open. We'll be right back.
Just the way tonight. One day we walked along the sand, one day in early spring, you held a piper in your hand to mend its broken wing. Now I'll remember many a day. And
you know, sometimes it's kind of hard to discern the difference their voices, Frank Sinatra and Tony Bennett.
Well, they were both crooners,
yeah,
right? That's what they were called.
And their voices sound pretty close, right?
Yeah, particularly earlier in Sinatra's career when he was a little better.
Yeah,
vocally.
and the songs that they sing are the same.
Yeah.
844-967-2789. You can text us at that same number. It's Friday. That means Fridays with Sandy Williams, my co-host, and you. The question is, what are your thoughts about what has occurred with the indictment of Donald Trump? Gary from Sussex is still on. And Gary,
I wanted to have a question for Gary. So, Gary, you indicated that basically I think what you were saying is that you were, until yesterday probably, or at least till very recently, thinking that you would be backing DeSantis because DeSantis was essentially a more civilized version of Donald Trump, maybe more presidential, but would offer a more rational kind of an approach in the White House, and that is that a fair characterization? And then that you decided based on what happened yesterday with the indictment that it made you so mad that the establishment was the left establishment was willing to have this kind of a political witch hunt that you were now going to back Trump again. Is that a fair characterization?
Yeah, but it wasn't just yesterday. It was
okay.
A raid on Mar-a-Lago and yeah, stuff like
all
that.
All right. But my question is, why would how the other folks are treating Donald Trump make him more presidential in your mind? I mean, the reasons you described for thinking you wanted to back DeSantis was I think because your view was that he was essentially more presidential and possibly a sounder kind of a person to have in the White House. And now Trump is being, in your mind, sort of put into a victim status of being witch hunted about on a variety of things, the Mar-a-Lago FBI, the documents there, you know, now this case in New York being brought. Of course, there are these other investigations, January 6th in Georgia, but why does any of that make him more president, make him subject to you thinking that you ought to vote for him to put him in the White House again? It doesn't make him more presidential, does it?
Sandy, you've been telling me exactly how I feel for the last minute.
No, I'm just asking you. I was asking if that was a fair characterization.
You're on somewhat. There's a little bit more to it than that. One of the reasons why I was leaning against him was because I thought that if he ends up getting into 2024 again, this is never going to end the witch hunt. And I thought it's just going to just pull our country apart. And I thought it would be better for our country not to have him in office and having the Democrats constantly going at him for another 4 years. That's why I thought that way. It wasn't because 100% that I that I didn't like Donald Trump. I like his spunk. I like his fight. But what I don't like is I think Donald Trump is more of a fighter than DeSantis would be. And I think our country is just so ripped apart. I mean, before Donald Trump, people seemed to get along pretty well. I mean, our country wasn't, people weren't hating each other. We didn't have Antifa going out there burning this country down. It really wasn't. And if they were there, they were only at the colleges periodically, you know, causing problems. But since Donald Trump, I thought our country, because of Donald Trump, our country was ripped apart. Not because that he's such a bad person, it's because he's so hated.
Okay,
so many people, half the people in this country absolutely hate him and think he's the devil. And I just thought Ron DeSantis could maybe bring our country back together again.
Oh, okay, so Gary, I have been silent. I have been silent over the last 10 minutes of this conversation, and I refuse to be silent anymore on it because it's hard for me to believe that people who claim that the country's being ripped apart, is ripped asunder, and Donald Trump somehow is the guy, the savior, who's going to be able to fix it. You know, Donald Trump helped rip the country apart. And so when I hear people say that, as if Donald Trump is, you know, has been mistreated and all of those things, I know the vitriol that has come out of Donald Trump's mouth all these years. You know it. He's not been a healer. So when I hear people say that, you know, this is the reason why we want Donald Trump back, you know, there's another side of people in this country who don't want him back. And we don't want him back because we know exactly who and what he is. The other side knows too, but they choose to put him there. But for those of us who don't want to see Donald Trump as president of the United States ever again, it's not because of Antifa. It's not because of Black Lives Matter. It's because of a man. There's never been a man who sat in the White House who ever besmirched that office. Not ever. Not any Democrat, not any Republican, but Donald Trump himself, and everybody knows that. So, you know, to hear people say, well, we're going to vote for him again now because he's being persecuted, I have to shake my head to that one, my friend.
Even inaugurated, before he implemented any of his ideas, before all this stuff happened, they were ready to crucify him before he even had a chance.
Did you hear what he said? But people witnessed him.
He had to fight back because of people with the thoughts of like you that's warping down. You never want to see him again. You should never be in the White House. He never even did anything yet, and nobody gave a chance.
Hey Gary, let me say this to you.
What did
Hillary Clinton do that she was so besmirched? And she was so condemned before she even got to the White House. You remember that? The attacks that she received?
Yeah.
Okay, so what are we talking about, Gary?
All the stuff from the very beginning. No, listen, Mike. Ever since, it all started in Arkansas with their white water. Listen,
I wish we had more time, man. But
no, I'm just telling you, it all goes back.
I know, Gary, we got to go to a break.
She has the history of Ben Gunn.
Gary, we're long. We got to go to a break. 844-967-2789. We'll be right back. I'm sorry.
The shadow of your smile.